This morning is from Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I'd like us this morning to think about faith and suffering. Holding on to faith in times of suffering. It's easy, isn't it, to have faith in God when life is smooth and easy. Much harder to trust God when things go wrong. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. The people of Judah in our Old Testament reading were starting to believe that God had turned his back on them. They were in exile for over 40 years, 49 to be exact, for King Cyrus allowed them to come home. And they were beginning to think that God did not care. And you know, we too can think that way when we're faced with trials and suffering. It could be a long-term illness, a loss of a loved one, that pain that will not go away. Financial problem. It could be a loss of a job or a problem with a relationship in a family. And we too, like the people in exile, could go down the road of praying that God would change the circumstances. And maybe after some weeks or months or even years, the situation may remain the same. And we too can have cause to lose heart and faith in God. So with that introduction, I'd like us to think this morning about three positive advice that the prophet Isaiah gives to people whose faith in God are grown weak and about to lose heart. First point of advice is be reminded that they are still God's children. They're still his people. The prophet gives two names which themselves tell us that God had not forsaken his people. Verse 27 says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel?" O Jacob and O Israel. The very fact that he mentions them by name tells us something very important. That God always keeps his promise. Even though Judah had disobeyed God, that's why they were in exile. Through idol worship. They were worshipping Baal, they were sacrificing children. They were treating people unjustly. They even hardened their hearts to his commands. But the truth remains that God still loved them. They were still his children and his people. And so it is with us. As Christians, we need to know that if we turn our backs on the Lord and his ways, perhaps through sin and disobedience, or it could be through circumstances in life or suffering that causes us to lose our way, we need to know that we can return to the Lord and know that we can be forgiven. We're under grace. But the important truth to remember is that our relationship with God solely depends upon his promises and his covenant to us. Not the other way around. So because of this, we can have confidence to return to the Lord and know in our hearts that we're still his children. And that will make a difference. The second positive advice when our faith is tested through suffering is the need to understand something of the true nature of God. Verse 28 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." J.B. Phillips, in his book, Your God is Too Small, says one of the biggest mistakes we can make is to bring God down to our level. We do this, he said, by putting him in a box where it's easy to handle, where we can understand him. And we then, in a sense, make God in our own image. And because of that, he then has limited strength, power, and understanding. But the prophet here reminds the people of Judah that God is an everlasting God. He's all-powerful, he's creative, he's all-knowing God. He reveals his true nature. That's what these people needed to know. Everlasting God means he's not bound by time. He reigns outside of time. God is infinite. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says the same yesterday, today and forever. It means that God is not subject to the same changes, stress and strains that we face. In a sense, he's free from the time scale we face too. But also it's important to understand that God is all-knowing. In verse 27, Judah's complaint was that God had disregarded them. He did not know their problems, their cares, and their needs. So the prophet reminds them that they had forgotten the words of Moses and the Psalms, the very books that echo the true nature of God. And it's because of being in exile for over 40 years, they had forgotten what God was like. And so the prophet reminds them that God is an all-knowing God, and his understanding no one can fathom. He had not forgotten them, even though they had a wrong understanding of him. And you know, we too can fall into the same trap. We need to understand something of the true nature of God so that our faith can remain in times of suffering. We need to know that the God whom we put our faith and we put our trust is all-powerful, everlasting, all-knowing. But most of all, he can be approached. The writers of the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, says this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We need to be reminded that we can come to Jesus when we're feeling low, when we're in pain or any type of trouble. And we can be certain that he understands and that he's able to give us strength, help and blessing. Because that is what the true nature of God is like. And the third and final advice is the need to wait upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Well, it means three things: patience, trust, and expectation. Patient is the Hebrew word, which means to stretch, to hold intention, like a piece of string, you hold intention. That gives a picture of holding on in times of suffering, when we pray and nothing happens. Hold on to be patient when things don't change. Then the need to trust. To trust in his promises, his nature, his grace and his mercy. But most of all, to fix our eyes on Jesus, because he's the author of our faith. Jesus is the author of our faith. than the need to expect. To expect the Lord to meet us in our need. Notice the number of times in verse 31 that the word will is mentioned. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not be faint. Four times. That tells us something very special. And that is the Lord has a willingness to meet us in our suffering, our pain, and our troubles. If we let him. In closing, I'd like to share with you a story. I always like reading books. Paul knows that. It's a book I read a few years ago entitled Stories That Heal. It was written by Father Michael Buckley, who's a Roman Catholic priest. Father Michael is a part of the Charismatic Renewal Movement. In that book, there were several stories, a few stories about healing. And one in particular was about a young man, also called Michael, who at the age of 29 contracted a rare virus which left him paralysed from the waist down. Father Michael said, young Michael was a devout Christian. He was a member of his church. But also young Michael, he said, believed in the power of prayer. So Father Michael invited young Michael to an evening service, a healing service in the evening. Young Michael accepted the invitation. At the end of the service, Father Michael gave a call for those who wanted prayer to come forward. Young Michael came forward, and as hands were laid on his head, he said he experienced a warm feeling in his body. But he wasn't healed. During the following week, Michael searched the scriptures on the subject of healing, and he came across the passage from the book of James, chapter 5, which spoke about the anointing of oil in healing. So he phoned Father Michael up that week and asked whether he could arrange for his head to be anointed with oil at the next healing service. So the following Sunday, young Michael responded again to call for prayer. And this time his head was anointed with oil. And once again, he experienced a warm feeling in his body. But he wasn't healed. Michael still believed the Lord would heal him. So he gave it some more thought. And the thing that came to mind was the problem was, he thought, was his own faith. Perhaps it's me that's stopping Jesus from healing. So Michael went again to the next healing service. And once again he responded to the call for healing. And as the elders laid hands on his head, Michael tried to force himself out of his wheelchair. But nothing happened. He was still paralysed. Being totally devastated, Michael stormed out of the church and he vowed not to pray or come to worship again. Michael's faith was broken. But after several months, in his book, in his story, he said that Michael had a desire to pray. He didn't pray for healing. He was honest with the Lord. He told him how he felt, how fed up he was. And he did believe that he could heal him. But he said the Lord gently showed him himself and the need to let go of all the fear and the disappointment that he had. And to open up his heart to receive his love, grace, peace, and help. After this experience, Michael decided to go back to the fellowship. He didn't go to the morning service, but he decided to go to the evening healing service. And when the call came for people to come forward for healing, Michael stayed at the back in his wheelchair. And Father Michael could not help but notice the serenity and the peace that was on young Michael's face. Healing is a complex issue, isn't it? There may be some here this morning who may be experiencing sadness or pain or loss, and whose faith has grown weak through suffering. Because it happens, you know. If that's you, then fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider him and know that he understands, that he cares, and that he loves you as nobody else can. Amen. I like if we